Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation is not just a podcast. It's a movement. This is episode 107, The Needlessness of Amateur Nation. Have you subscribed and checked out my YouTube page? You should. It's pretty cool. You can see all the podcast previews for every episode, plus video episodes starting with episode 99, plus stand-up comedy clips and acting clips and hosting clips. Fun stuff. Also, please download my book. It's on sale at pandemic prices at only $4.99 at 551 pages, I believe. You can download it to your e-reader on any type of computer, or if you have a Kindle, it's on Amazon. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. And if you got any questions or you want to chat, lou@lousantini.com, which reminds me of this. Shout out to my fans first. And this one goes out to Stephen Landis of Brewster, Ohio. Turns out, Stephen was a fan of mine when I was on the air for a little over 4 years at Rock 107 in Canton, Ohio. And like a lot of my loyal fans in Northeast Ohio from my radio and TV days out there, he did his homework, tracked me down on Instagram. We had some great conversations, and he is still all about the metal. So good for you, Stephen. It's always really good and very much appreciated when I hear from my loyal fans. Ohio people, man. Ohio people are the best. He started listening to my podcast because he didn't know about it, so I told him about it, and he said, quote, "Gotta say this about your pod, I love the unapologetic, honest opinions. That's all I ask." My kind of guy. So, Stephen, welcome to the show. Let's get to it. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation, topic number one. Shift.com, the new way to buy a car, with their no bugs guarantee. Have you seen this commercial? The commercial shows a guy driving a car and he sneezes directly onto the steering wheel. But the good news is Shift is offering free antimicrobial protection. Because I know sometimes when I've bought new and used cars in the past, I have spent thousands of dollars for my antimicrobial protection, but they're giving it to you for free. Hang on, let me just bend over. In what world do amateurs think that their car, new or used, is germ-free and is contact-free? How do you think cars are built, delivered from the factory to the dealership, from the dealership to your home, even though it's delivered to your house, contact-free? The second you open the door or the window, guess what? Germs! And it's not just Shift.com, okay? It's many other companies that, since their product or service is average, they avoid the inexpensive angle. That's been done. Our product, our service is the cheapest. You'll save money. They've done that. Now, many amateur companies are appealing to the, our product is never touched. You'll be the first person to touch it, ever. Our pizza, never touched. Fitness, where I worry about sweaty gyms. There's a slogan on one of electronic workout pieces of equipment you can get at home. It's one step shy of brainwashing, and their slogan is "Stay in, work out." I get it, in versus out, whatever. But think about that message: stay in, don't even go out. Stay in, work out. You want to be in your best shape for who? No one. If you live alone, your significant other, your family members. You're going to be, I'm not saying that the only reason you work out is to show off your body. What I'm saying is, what's the point of being in shape if you're never leaving the fucking house? This whole thing with Shift.com got me thinking about a lot of products and services that we've seen advertised since the beginning of the pandemic hoax. I was watching one of my favorite car shows on the Motor Trend Network called Motor Week. Now, this show has been around, I want to say, around 50 years, long before I started watching it. And it started off as a show on PBS, and now it's on Motor Trend Network. It's a show that simply reviews the newest cars that are coming out. There's very few classic cars, and it just tells you what the newest technology, the newest models. They preview car shows, that kind of thing. They were talking about some electric car, the Chevy Bolt, the Nissan Leaf, something like that. And they interviewed a woman, and just an average everyday American citizen, and what her thoughts were about owning her first electric car. And I quote when she says, "They're just so much easier to drive." Was a gas-powered car kicking your ass? It's the same principle. Hit the accelerator to go faster, turn the steering wheels, turn signals, stereo, air conditioning, cruise control, GPS, hitting the brake. It's not like she's driving a manual, but stay with me here because I have a larger point. We're gonna get back to Shift.com. An electric car, for the most part, has the same components as a regular car. The only difference is the power plant. You don't feel that, you don't feel that shifting even if it's automatic. And even modern cars, the shift points are so subtle, you don't really notice them unless you're stomping on it, okay? I will say electric cars drive smoother and quieter, but I digress. I digress my digression. Driving should not be easy. It should not be impossible. It shouldn't be work. It shouldn't be difficult like in the days when cars were first invented, all the way up to the 20s, 30s, 40s, and dare I even say the 50s and early 60s when power steering, power brakes, better brakes, safety, those kind of things weren't readily available. Power windows, those kind of things. But in general, driving is easy if you pay attention and you learn properly. Again, it shouldn't be a grueling task, okay? It shouldn't be a stressful task. Even in the worst traffic, driving should not be stressful. The act of driving, sitting still, as Jerry Seinfeld said, he loves cars because you're sitting yet moving, you're inside yet outside, okay? You're sitting still, holding your steering wheel. What's so hard about this, okay? I do respect people like, driving scares me. I live in LA. Traffic can be insane. If you live in a big metropolitan area, driving in traffic can indeed be intimidating, especially if you don't know the area. But I'm talking about the simple act of driving. It should not be a grueling task or a stressful one. But if your biggest issue when choosing an electric car is, well, it's just easier because you don't have to shift like in a manual transmission because electric cars have no transmission, learn to fucking drive, amateurs. That's all I'm saying. It's not about you, the individual driver, getting from point A to point B, going to work or to the grocery store. It's about being a good driver so you can coexist with other drivers on the planet. You need to be a good driver for everyone else. For those of you, well, wear your mask because it shows you care about humanity. Learn to drive. If you're driving while texting with your mask on and don't even tell me that masks doesn't affect your driving, bullshit. Every person I've seen driving a mask drives like they're looking for an address. It messes with your peripheral vision, it gives you a false sense of security, and it creates panic in these drivers. Think about that. If you're dumb enough to wear a mask while you're in a car by yourself, you're probably a shitty driver. I stand by that statement. There's no reason to wear a mask in your own car by yourself. If you've got someone with an a compromised immune system in the car, I understand that. But if you're driving alone in your car with a mask on, you're a lousy driver. And an electric car is not going to be any easier for you. Yes, I'm getting fired up about this because I'm right. And I never get tired of being right. The rest of the world should not have to dumb it down so you don't be afraid behind the wheel of a car and while we all sit in little sterile modular pods that make no noise, that are all identical and they all burn the same energy and go the exact same speed and are controlled and tracked by GPS and computer systems. No, I'm not sacrificing my muscle car or my regular gas-powered car that I currently drive because electric cars are easier for you. Well, that's your problem. Grow a dick, learn to drive. Take a course. You know, just because you have your license doesn't mean you still can't take driving courses, whether they're stunt driving courses, learning to drive in inclement weather type courses, how to drive in emergency courses, or just improving your skills. If you've not driven a new car in a long time, it can be intimidating sitting in the cockpit. But there's options for you besides making the whole world comply to your amateur status as a shitty driver. These are the same amateurs that want to exercise that is easy. They want exercise to be easy. You watch those infomercials, those commercials, you just strap this thing on your arm, wait 20 minutes, you got giant biceps. It's easy. Learning a new language, put this pod in your ear. Listen to this. It's easy. Everything has to be easy for amateurs. Theodore Roosevelt once said, and I'm going to read this directly, nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, or difficulty. I have never in my life envied a human being who led an easy life. I have envied a great many people who led difficult lives and led them well. As I've gotten older, I realized I prefer more difficult things. Stick shift cars over automatics, heavy metal music and the musicians that perform them, stand-up comedy, radio broadcasting. I like things that are difficult because they're more interesting, and usually things that are difficult have to be earned, which is why I like car people. They've earned their classic cars because they love their car. There might be a history behind it. They skin their knuckles working on their cars, and they work hard to save up the money to own their dream car. They bleed for them. They rarely are in the car world for profit, but for the work of it and the love. Heavy metal musicians play some of the most intricate and difficult music in the world, with blazing speed, crazy changes, and complicated arrangements. They studied their craft and usually trained in classical music, at least the best ones anyway. Comedy, stand-up comedy, is not easy. Comedians just make it look easy, otherwise everyone would do it. So my point is, not everything in life is going to be voice activated or delivered right to your doorstep or just be easy. Earn something. And by the way, for those people who say that electric cars are easy to own and operate, again, they haven't been around long enough for us to figure out what to do with these batteries once they are unrecyclable. They can only be recharged and recycled so many times. Then eventually, we gotta chuck them. And those are rare earth minerals, usually mined from places like communist China, usually by slave labor, which are usually children. Feel good about your car now? I'm not saying all, but most. Hopefully, the engineers who design these cars and the batteries have come up with an exit strategy as to what to do with them when it comes to disposal. My money is on no. Because we have seen that technology has been irresponsible with social media and all these other things that are voice activated and AI and ring doorbells. We like the concept. Hurry up, make it. Just get it out there. Make your money. Oh, we'll deal with the consequences later. AI is easy. And then our information is hacked and stolen and monitored. The ring doorbell is easy. Install it and watch the thieves walk away with your Amazon package and then wonder why you have no privacy. If something is easy, there's often a catch. Again, I'm not anti-electric car. I like convenience. When it comes to electric cars, I'm for them. There's room for everyone. All types of fuel, hydrogen-powered cars, electric cars, hybrid cars, gas-powered cars, which are improving daily in terms of their pollution output, their better gas mileage, and their reliability. But don't replace my muscle car or my gas-powered car because you want to drive a car that's easy. But back to my point about Shift.com and car companies like Carvana, where you order your car online from a car vending machine and then it's dropped off at your house and no one's touched it, okay? It's the second biggest purchase of your life. That's how you want to spend your money? You're trading that hour of convenience for 5, 6, 7 years of finance headache and dissatisfaction with the second largest purchase of your life? The idea that you think that if you order a car from Shift.com or Carvana, and then the driver of the truck that delivers your car is then blindfolded and then executed upon delivery, then he's cremated and his ashes are thrown off a cliff, well, you're an amateur. If you buy a car from either of these companies, I have no sympathy for you. You get what you get. And you'll get stuck with your antimicrobial, online, never test-driven purchase for however long you finance. But the important thing is, you were able to buy your car while sitting in your comfy pajamas at home. Amateurs. Topic number two. You know, I often complain about censorship and bias in the mainstream media, and as someone who's made his living creating and has been in the entertainment business for who knows how many years, 35 years, I would not be doing my job if I didn't watch it. So here are my thoughts on the controversial Netflix movie, cuties. First and foremost, this movie did not need to be made. It didn't. Not for any reason. Certainly not in this style. But more on that in a moment. We already know and have known that children, especially young girls, are exploited and manipulated at a very young age thanks to social media and mainstream media. We've heard about the sexual allegation charges with people like Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, and that story just continues. Just hear my podcast and past episodes about things like TikTok, or I don't know, look at the internet, advertising, fashion, and television, and movies marketed towards children. Number two, this movie, subject matter aside, is simply a poorly made movie. It's poorly done. It was lazily made. This could have been a 1 hour TV documentary, a special that needed to be watched. Number three, if you're going to cover this subject, make it a documentary rather than glamorize child sexuality. It would have been a more powerful statement and just maybe elicit some change. Don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting and try to tell me that this movie speaks out against exploiting children. It does not. It feeds that machine. It does. Number four, this piece of crap movie got awards. I'm in the wrong business. Someone needs to buy my script. I have an Oscar winner if this movie got awards. Number five, I felt bad for the actors, and I mean all of them, not just the child actors, but the adults in it as well. I really hope they thought long and hard about their decision to be in this movie, and I also hope they had long, calm, thorough conversations with their kids that were in it. I'm talking about the parents now, and the agents before they shot it. But my guess is they might have talked, but not long enough. Real damage is done to the girls in this movie. It's a shame. If they never act again when they become adults and they lead honorable lives, this movie will come back to haunt them. And number six, make no mistake, this is not like the highly controversial and frankly timeless, frank, gritty, and raw movie Kids from 1994, I believe. Yes, released in 1994. It's a movie I heard about because the movie soundtrack had songs from it that we played at the last radio station I worked at WMMS, where I was on the air at the time. So that the music from the soundtrack I really liked, so it got me to watch the movie, and it is a disturbing, it's one of those movies you watch once, you don't need to see it again. But that movie was done in a better way, and plus these weren't underage kids. At least they were teenagers living in the inner city, and there was more of a, it was about their a day in the life of and their struggles with drugs and sex and violence and abusive parents, those kind of things. It wasn't exploitive, and it didn't make me as uncomfortable as Cuties did. Kids, while indeed disturbing, did indeed speak truth as to what inner city and suburban teens can come up against, and you can actually feel the cautionary tale being told within that movie. It was palpable. Cuties has no such cautionary tale, not for parents and certainly not for kids. Kids who are watching it, if the kids are of the age of the kids in the movie, they should not be watching that movie. So who is this movie for then? Who's it for? And like I said, there is no message if you're an adult watching the movie Cuties as a cautionary tale. It's just simply a movie, a poorly made, lazy movie that did not need to be made and panders and exploits the over-sexualizing of our youngest children in America and the world. So, do I recommend parents watch it? I'll say reluctantly yes, but with a warning, it will bother you. You may have to pause it at times. I did. I had to pause it, take a break from it, come back later. Do not watch that movie with your kids. They should not see it. But it will send this message, although not intentionally. And that message is, parents need to snoop, monitor, and block their children from social media for as long as possible. And by all means, stop posting pictures of your underage children on social media. They are being looked at, manipulated, stolen, captured, used, and who knows for what other reason. Don't post your kids on social media if they're underage. Topic number three. Often on this show and in my book, I talk about needless technology. See Carvana and Shift. And also repeat the phrase, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I repeat, I like convenience, but never at the expense of my privacy, control, and freedom. Logical technology, to me, makes sense. Bikes are better than walking, and I'm talking about speed and affordability. Yes, I know there's benefits to walking. We all know biking 10 miles is easier than walking 10 miles. Thus, cars beat bikes. Sound like Dwight Schrute there. And yes, we can talk about more efficient cars and electric cars and hybrids and hydrogen power cars, etc. But I was talking to someone the other day about Apple Pay. You can just scan your phone in the participating vendor's sensor and bam, your buying habits and privacy is ready to be hacked. But you saved valuable seconds. Remember how reaching into your wallet, watch how, everybody get their timer out. I'm gonna reach into my back pocket as if I had a wallet. You ready? Oh my God, how much time did I save? As opposed to my phone, which I don't have here, of course, and just beep. Wow, that adds up. Over the course of a lifetime, that's like a minute. Reach into your pocket to pull out cash. Reach into your wallet to pull out your credit or your debit card. How many minutes of your life, hours of your life, have been taken up doing that? Not even one. Not that I would condone it, but what if you even wrote a check? That's my point. Checks, those aren't convenient anymore. We have credit cards and debit cards for that. And we've always had cash, which to me solves all problems. Your privacy's not getting tracked. Your buying habits aren't being tracked. You get your immediate change. I myself find that when I use cash, I spend less. But with Apple Pay, now you can be out the door and get back to important things like family and talking to your kids and getting work done. No, wait, I meant looking at your social media on your phone and texting and ignoring phone calls and voicemails. None of this is saving us time because we're not doing anything with that time. There comes a time when technology has gone too far and is needless, where convenience isn't the issue anymore. Credit cards, debit cards, cash, and dare I say it, even old school checks are technically all pretty convenient. I just listed four ways to pay for something. Never mind things like Venmo and PayPal and the countless other ways you can send or receive money. I'm all about choice. I'm not saying get rid of Apple Pay. And I won't judge you if you scan your phone to pay for something. But I don't want to hear it if your phone gets lost and then your phone, your contacts, your photos, and now your banking is in the hands of a criminal. I do not bank on my phone on an app. I have the banking app for absolute emergencies, and that's an emergency that has yet to happen and probably never will. When was reaching into your phone or your wallet or your back pocket difficult? What, because you held up the line because these other people were Gordon Gekko and they're closing deals and they got to get out of a 99-cent store and you're holding up the works? Plan your life and be ready. You know what when you're next in line. Have your wallet or your cash or your debit card or credit card ready. It's not hard. Why is handing someone cash perceived as difficult? How much time are you really saving? It's all designed to get you to buy more stuff, stuff that you probably don't need. Again, I like stuff. Believe me, I like stuff. I could do some spending with an unlimited budget. You give me 10 grand right now, I could do some damage. Give me $100, I could do some damage quickly. My new rule for any device, whether electronic or mechanical, or even, I don't know, something that has no motor in it, no battery, no electronics, is this easier and or more convenient, or am I considering this just because I'm feeling lazy? Look, I'm not a lazy person at all. In fact, laziness along with stupidity, which often go together, are two of my biggest pet peeves with amateurs. We all have our lazy days, days you don't want to get off the couch, you just want to order a pizza and veg out. I'm down with that. I have those days. But everything now is delivered right to your doorstep. You know, the one commercial, we never have to go grocery shopping again. We never have to cook again. We don't? No, a box will come to your door with food ready to just throw it in the oven. I'm surprised we have to throw it in the oven. We just can't do one of these and make it happen. We can't voice activate it from the doorstep to our oven. What's wrong with this world? Why do we want less interaction with people? Why are we so afraid to go to the store, to go to the gym, to go to work? Oh, but dude, you get try being stuck in traffic. That's life, man. You want to work? You want to make money? That's life. Yeah, well, I'm getting my work done from home now. Well, come at me in 5 years when you're depressed and you have no friends, when you've lost your social skills. Going out to eat isn't about just days where you don't feel like cooking at home. It's about being with someone else, sometimes even going out by yourself, letting someone else do the work, taking care of yourself, letting someone serve you and tipping that person and saying hi to your favorite server, going to your favorite restaurant. That's what has been stolen from us for the last 7 months. And now, the first step was to steal that social activity from us. No bars, no restaurants, no churches, no schools, no concerts, no sporting events, no fun. Just do the bare essentials. Grocery store, dry cleaning. Don't go anywhere where you could hang out and talk. No one's hanging out at the dry cleaner or the grocery store. We'll let those slide. The second part of that plan is convince people that they never needed that stuff to begin with. And the third part is life is better without it. And they're wrong on all three counts. Live your life. Fuck these shutdowns. Take your mask off. Go live your life. Have people over. Have barbecues. Go outside. Go to the gym if it's open. Go to your restaurants if they're open. I realize people are broke. They don't have extra money, but do something. But don't fall for this. We have our lazy days where we just can't get motivated. I get it, but chronic laziness and stupidity, that's a deal breaker with me. Apple Pay, it's not easier. It's simply lazy. Time now for some quickies. I was watching a show where the bad drug cartel guy was about to torture someone to death, not as a way to get information, but simply as a punishment for some mistake this other guy made. He was disloyal or stole money or something. He was torturing this other guy just to make a point. It got me thinking, if you're going to torture someone, why not at least do it to get information? I mean, if you know you're going to kill him anyway, and you don't need information, and it's just a punishment, why the torture? Now you're just wasting your own time. You're going to kill them anyway. That's just more work for you. Unless you enjoy torturing, which got me thinking about this. People who torture others for a living, so to speak, hitman, drug cartel guys, can't possibly enjoy that kind of work. How often have you seen in movies, you'll see the guy's about to torture someone, like, come on, don't make me be a bad guy, don't make me do this, and then they do it, and they seem to kind of enjoy it anyway. So my final point is about torture. All that being said, by definition, if you torture someone, you must enjoy it. I'm really fun to watch TV with. Also, here's something else I thought about. I went grocery shopping recently, and in my quest for some excitement and change in my life, I thought I would try a new brand of Kleenex. Yeah, I need a girlfriend. Or should I say facial tissue. It read on the box, made of 100% recyclable materials. Oh, and I believe them. All right, enough with this everything being made out of recyclable materials bullshit, all right? Can we just throw away fucking Kleenex, please? Right? I shouldn't cut my face blowing my nose. I look like Joaquin Phoenix by the time I'm done. And what am I doing? For this picture over here, I actually spent time setting up a camera shot of me flipping off a box of Kleenex at home. Quarantine is officially won. Now let's see how many people, by the way, I offended with this comment, right? You got the people who work for the Kleenex industry, Joaquin Phoenix, I'm sure we'll call, Joaquin Phoenix fans, people who have scars on their lip, hippies who want everything made out of organic air, and somehow, some way, some amateur is going to mention masks in my rant for some reason. Speaking of amateurs, take a look at this one. Amateurs find new ways to get attention any way they can. For example, you only have most of the entire planet to do a plank, but the best place to do it is in the dark at a four-way stop at a residential intersection in the dirt next to the sidewalk, but not on it. I was actually angry at this guy for a second because I thought as I pulled up to the stop sign, there was someone like hurt or passed out or died or something and needed my help. Nope, just some amateur who needs the whole neighborhood to know that he is working his core on the street in the dark. And no, I normally would never take pictures while I was driving, but I was at a dead stop at a residential neighborhood with no cars in any direction at the four-way stop in front of me or behind me. Just me and this Nimrod doing his plank. This deserved to get caught on camera. I just wish I didn't find prison so disagreeable, or else this would be an entirely different comment where I talk about using a human speed bump. Literally, referencing last week's episode, if you ever invite me to a gender reveal party, look at me as I say my final goodbyes. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one, The Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix. I say without hyperbole, this is the most important documentary of the decade. I rarely say must viewing, but this is a movie the entire family needs to watch. Here are some bullet points. Roger McNamee, Facebook early investor, venture capitalist, said the first 50 years of Silicon Valley, the industry made products, hardware, and software. Simple business. The last 10 years, they are in the business of selling their users. And another quote that hit that struck a chord with me, you might think the internet is free, but as they say in the movie, if you're not paying for the product is you. How they are used, how social media are used, is pretty different than what you expected. I believe I've said this in my book and in the earliest episodes of this podcast and throughout the podcast over the last three seasons, and that is inventors of technology and social media only consider the positive applications in the things they envision it being used for. For example, when they came up with the like button on Facebook, they did it merely to generate interest for the users. They wanted the users to go, oh, I like that. They weren't thinking how it would be abused, tracked, sold, and yes, manipulated. But as I've always said, amateurs will always find a way to abuse the system, or shortcut the system, or supersede the system, or use the system, whatever that system is, a piece of technology, social media, for their own selfish, sensory, biased, evil needs. After I watched The Social Dilemma, I deleted 12 apps from my phone, rearranged my phone home screen, and I know I'll be deleting a few more apps within the very near future for specific private reasons. I immediately deactivated my Twitter account altogether. I'm less concerned about showing people my opinions and my funny stuff, and more concerned about the whole garbage in, garbage out mentality that I have, and the ugliness that is Twitter, and that it has become with the censorship and racism and outright hostility, bias, and threats. Number two, everybody knows. Great Spanish language movie on Netflix starring Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz. She was unbelievable in this. This movie had an original concept. It's beautifully shot. It's all shot in Spain, and it really made me want to go back. A great story, superb acting, and it's kind of fun to guess the ending, and that's all I really can tell you. It's kind of a whodunit. That's about all I can tell you without ruining the movie. Plus, it makes you want to go to Spain. You know what I thought about this, too? You got The Social Dilemma on Netflix, and everybody knows on Netflix. It's funny how Netflix can deliver some amazing movies and TV shows like Fastest Car that I talked about, and Born Racer, a great IndyCar documentary, and the things I just talked about. And then they show their amateur side by airing that crap called Cuties. Number three, the book Rust in Peace. The inside story of the Megadeth masterpiece. Megadeth is my favorite band. Wake Up Dead is my favorite Megadeth song, but that's on Peace Sells, but who's buying? Many argue, and they'd probably be right, that Rust in Peace is their masterpiece, hence the book. Now, many argue also that Holy War is the Punishment Due is not only their best song, but probably one of the best thrash metal songs of all time. And I will say that song is a musical masterpiece with more changes and speed than you can keep track of. Now, while Mustaine's autobiography is in my top 10 favorite books I've ever read, I've read that twice, as a matter of fact, this one gives you more of the skinny on how they got to the masterpiece, Rust in Peace, as told by various members of the band and those surrounding the band. And the foreword is written by Slash from Guns N' Roses, who was actually asked to join the band at one point. I never knew that. How different would that have been for the world and the landscape of heavy metal and hard rock had Slash gone to Megadeth? A bit really different musically, but it's hard to believe that Rust in Peace is 30 years old. It's one of the greatest thrash metal albums of all time, and as many fans would say, no filler, all killer, and no two songs sound alike. Okay, Before I go, I just want to say this. This show will be taking a hiatus for a while as I have some things that I need to attend to. This show will be back, and possibly sooner than later, albeit without the production values that you've grown accustomed to, possibly without the video version. No, I don't have the coronavirus, so relax. But nonetheless, I thank you for a great 107 episodes. It's been my honor, my pleasure, and my privilege entertaining you. And more episodes are indeed coming. Possibly as like an MTV Unplugged, a more stripped-down version in the interim. But I ask that in the meantime, this gives you a chance to get caught up on your past or your favorite episodes to re-listen to. This is not goodbye, but rather, until next time. In the meantime, you can still email me, lou@lousantini.com. Download my book from Amazon. You subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 14 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. So remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini. This has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. I'm gonna miss you.